The following is a free-for-download audiobook available on KrishnaPath.org. The Laws of Nature, Chapter 1, Part 12, The Way of Knowing God. In the Vedic disciplic succession, the spiritual masters always base their statements on what they have heard from authoritative sources, never on personal experience. Trying to understand things by one's own direct experience is the material process of gaining knowledge, technically called pratyaksha. The Vedic method is different. It is called shruti, which means, quote, to hear from authoritative sources, end quote. That is the secret of Vedic understanding. With your imperfect senses, you should not try to understand things that are beyond your experimental powers. That is not possible. Suppose you want to know who your father is. Can you find out by experimenting? Is it possible? No. Then how can you know who your father is? By hearing from the proper authority, your mother. This is common sense. And if you cannot know your material father by the experimental process, how can you know the Supreme Father by the experimental process? Krishna is the original father. He is the father of the father of the father, all the way down to you. So, if you cannot understand your immediate father, the previous generation, by the experimental process, how can you know God, or Krishna, in this way? People search for God by the experimental process, but after much searching, they fail. Then they say, quote, oh, there is no God. I am God, end quote. But the Ishupanishad says that one should try to learn about God, not by the experimental process, but by hearing. From whom should one hear? From a shopkeeper? From fanatics? No. One should hear from those who are dhira. Dhira means, quote, one whose senses are not agitated by material influence, end quote. There are different kinds of agitation. Agitations of the mind, the power of speech, and anger, the agitations of the tongue, belly, and genitals. When we become angry, we forget everything and can do any nonsense and speak so much nonsense. For the agitation of the tongue, there are so many advertisements. Quote, here is liquor, here is chicken, here is beef, end quote. Will we die without liquor, chicken, or beef? No. For the human beings, Krishna has given so many nice things to eat, grains, fruits, milk, and so on. The cow produces milk abundantly, not for herself, but for human beings. That is proper food. God says, quote, Mrs. Cow, although you are producing milk, you cannot drink it. It is for the human beings, who are more advanced than animals, end quote. Of course, in the infant stage, animals live off their mother's milk, so the calves drink some of the cow's milk. But the cow gives excess milk, and that excess is specifically meant for us. We should accept whatever God has ordained as our proper food. But no, because of the agitation of the tongue, we think, quote, why should I be satisfied eating grains, milk products, vegetables, and fruits? Let me maintain a slaughterhouse and kill these cows. After drinking their milk, just as I drank my mother's milk, let me kill them to satisfy my tongue. End quote. You shouldn't think such nonsense, but should hear from the dhiras or swamis who have controlled their senses. A swami or goswami is one who has control over the six agitations, the speech, the mind, anger, the tongue, the belly, and the genitals. There is a nice poem by Kalidas called Kumara Sambhava, describing how Lord Shiva is Dhira. When Lord Shiva's wife, Sati, heard Shiva being blasphemed at a performance or sacrifice performed by her father, she committed suicide. Upon hearing about his wife's suicide, Lord Shiva became very angry and left this planet to meditate elsewhere. During that time, there was a war between the demons and the demigods. The demigods needed a good general. They concluded that if Lord Shiva were to beget a son, the son would be able to lead them in a fight against the demons. Lord Shiva was completely naked while meditating, so Parvati, the reincarnation of Sati, was sent to agitate his genitals for sex. But he was not agitated. He remained silent. At this point, Kalidas remarks, quote, "Here is Adira. He is naked, and a young girl is touching his genitals, but still he is not agitated." Quote, "Dira means that even if there is some cause for agitation, one will not be agitated. If there is some very nice food, my tongue should not be agitated to taste it. If there is a very nice girl or boy, still I should not be agitated sexually. In this way, one who is Dira is able to control the six agitating forces mentioned above. It is not that Lord Shiva was impotent, he was Dira. Similarly, Krishna danced with so many girls, but there was no sexual appetite. So, you have to hear from a person who is Dira. If you hear from the Adira, from those who are not self-controlled, then whatever knowledge you learn will be useless." In the Isha Upanishad, a student has approached his spiritual master to inquire from him, and the spiritual master is saying, quote, "This is what I've heard from authoritative sources," end quote. The spiritual master is not inventing something from his own experience. He is presenting exactly what he has heard. So, we have nothing to research. Everything is there. We simply have to hear from a person who is Dira, who is not agitated by the six urges. That is the Vedic process of gaining knowledge. And if we try to use some other process, we will remain covered by nescience. The Isha Upanishad states, quote, "Only one who can learn the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality," end quote. People do not understand what immortality is. They think it is a mythological idea. They are proud of their advancement of knowledge, but there are many things they do not know, nor can they ever know by their modern system of experimentation. So, if you want real knowledge, you should take knowledge from the literature known as the Vedas. The word Veda means, quote, "knowledge," end quote. Part of the Vedas are the 108 Upanishads, out of which 11 are very important. Of those 11, the Isha Upanishad stands first. The word Upanishad, in the word Upanishad, Upa means, quote, "near," end quote. So the knowledge in the Isha Upanishad will take you nearer to Krishna. In learned society, the Vedas are accepted as Shruti, or primary evidence. The Vedas are not knowledge established by the research work of contaminated conditioned souls. Such people have imperfect senses, and so they cannot see things as they are. They simply theorize, quote, "It may be like this, it might be like that," end quote. That is not knowledge. Knowledge is definite, without any doubt or mistake. Conditioned souls commit mistakes, become illusioned, and cheat. How do they cheat? When one who does not understand the Bhagavad Gita writes a commentary on it, he is cheating the innocent public. Someone has a title as a scholar, so he takes advantage of the popularity of the Bhagavad Gita and writes a commentary. Such so-called scholars claim that anyone can give his own opinion. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that only his devotee can understand the Gita. So, these so-called scholars are cheating. The conclusion is that if you want genuine spiritual knowledge, you have to approach a bona fide spiritual master who has realized the absolute truth. Otherwise, you will remain in darkness. You cannot think, quote, "Oh, I may or may not accept a spiritual master. In any case, there are books I can learn from," end quote. No. The Vedic injunction is Tad Vigyanartham Sagarum Eva Bhagachet. The word gachet means, quote, one must go, end quote. Not that one may or may not go. To understand transcendental knowledge, one must go to a spiritual master. That is the Vedic injunction. You must know two things. What is Maya, illusion, and what is Krishna? Then your knowledge is perfect. Of course, Krishna is so nice that if you somehow or other fully surrender to him, all your searching for knowledge will be finished. Not only will you know what Krishna is, you will know automatically what Maya is. Krishna will give you intelligence from within. So, by the mercy of both the spiritual master and Krishna, one takes up devotional service. How is that? Their mercy runs on parallel lines. If you have not yet found a spiritual master but are sincere, Krishna will direct you to a bona fide spiritual master. And if you get a bona fide spiritual master, he will take you to Krishna. Krishna is always sitting in your heart as the Chaita Guru, the spiritual master within. It is that Chaita Guru who manifests himself externally as the spiritual master. Therefore, the spiritual master is the direct representative of Krishna. The Ishopanishad says we should learn what vidya and avidya are. Avidya is ignorance under the guise of materialistic knowledge. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in one of his songs that, quote, advancement of material knowledge is simply the advancement of Maya's jurisdiction, end quote. The more you become implicated in material knowledge, the less you can understand Krishna consciousness. Those who are advanced in material knowledge think, quote, what is the use of this Krishna consciousness movement, end quote. They have no attraction for spiritual knowledge. They are too absorbed in avidya. Some Indian boys reject the spiritual culture of India and come to the West to learn technology. When they see that I have introduced in the West the things that they rejected in India, they are surprised. One reason I came to the West is that modern India has rejected spiritual knowledge. Today, Indians think that if they can imitate Western technology, they will be happy. This is Maya. They do not see that those who are 300 times more technologically advanced than the Indians are not happy. India will not be able to be equal to American or European technology, at least for 300 years, because the Western countries have been developing technology for a very long time. But since the time of creation, Indian culture has been a spiritual culture. Vidya, or genuine spiritual knowledge, does not depend on technology. Srila Vyasadeva is the original guru of Vedic knowledge. How was he living? In a cottage in Bhadrakashram. But just see his knowledge. He wrote so many Puranas, including the Srimad Bhagavatam. He also wrote the Vedanta Sutra and the Mahabharata. If you studied every single verse written by Vyasadeva, it would take your whole life. The Srimad Bhagavatam alone has no less than 18,000 verses, and each verse is so full of meaning that it would take a whole lifetime to understand it. This is Vedic culture. There is no knowledge comparable to that contained in the Vedic literature. Not only spiritual knowledge, but material knowledge also. The Vedas discuss astronomy, mathematics, and many other subjects. It is not that in ancient times there were no airplanes. They are mentioned in the Puranas. These airplanes were so strong and swift they could each easily reach other planets. It is not that there was no advancement of material knowledge in the Vedic age. It was there, but the people then did not consider it so important. They were interested in spiritual knowledge. So, one should know what knowledge is and what nescience is. If we advance in nescience, or material knowledge, we will have to undergo repeated birth and death. Moreover, there is no guarantee what your next birth will be. That is not in your hands. Now, you are happy being an American, but after quitting this body, You cannot dictate, quote, please give me an American body again, end quote. Yes, you may get an American body, but it may be an American cow's body. Then you are destined for the slaughterhouse. So, cultivating material knowledge, nationalism, socialism, this-ism, that-ism, is simply a dangerous waste of time. Better to cultivate real knowledge, Vedic knowledge, which leads one to surrender to Krishna. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 7:19, Banam janmanamante genamamam prapadyate. After many, many births, one who is in genuine knowledge comes to Krishna and surrenders to him, realizing, quote, O Krishna, you are everything, end quote. This is the culmination of all cultivation of knowledge.